You may have recently seen Don Flemons on the Ken Burns documentary Country Music, which aired last month on PBS and WIOL-TV. You'll have several more chances to see Flemons this weekend as part of the Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which runs through tomorrow night at several venues in Urbana. I spoke with Flemons this week about his most recent album, the Grammy-nominated Black Cowboys, and how he got his start playing roots music.
I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona, and I guess when I was about midway through high school, after having played drums in the school band, I started playing guitar, and I got really deep into folk music, first the 60s folk revival, and over time, as I went to college, I started to study folk music as a literature and an art form in that way. And after I graduated from college, I went out to North Carolina and began studying old-time music of North Carolina. And so nowadays I'm in Washington, D.C., and my most recent project's been on African-American Western culture and Black Cowboys specifically. So it's been kind of a full circle recently when it comes to my most recent works.
Yes, of course, nominated for Grammy Award for Best Folk Album. And just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, I guess, kind of the genesis of that album. The idea behind it, I think, is a pretty clear one, that certainly African Americans had a large part in the West and in cowboy culture. But how did you then come up with the idea to put together this album?
Well, you know, growing up, my father, my African American father, I'm African American and I'm Mexican American on my mother's side. My dad, he was a big fan of cowboy movies and country and western music. I just grew up with country music in my life. So that was one part of the story. The other part of it was the work of John Lomax, the wonderful pioneer folklorist who worked with the Library of Congress, and he created one of the first books on cowboy songs, cowboy songs and frontier ballads. They did that in 1910. And I was blown away to find, when I went back to some of John Lomax's writings, I noticed that he mentioned black cowboys and that the song Home on the Range had a story that was connected to a black cowboy that John Lomax met and recorded for Wax Cylinder. And I found some of the writings of John's son, Alan Lomax, and he mentioned that the variant that this black cowboy sang is the Western national anthem we know to this day as Home on the Range.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
For me, as a musical artist, I really wanted to come up with a foundational document that would celebrate the history as well as tell a few stories that people might not know, and create an engaging record that was along the lines of some of my favorite country records that have Western themes, like Marty Robbins' Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it sounds like it was truly a labor of love for you as well.
It really was, because having grown up in Phoenix, Arizona, I myself had never heard much about black cowboys on a historic level. And even though now that I look back at it, I see that there were many aspects of my upbringing that were reflective of the history that I found now. And that to me is always powerful, when you can go to your own back door and see that there's a powerful cultural history that has its own significance. That's something that I think everybody can relate to, and that's something I wanted to convey in the album as well.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about as well, Dom, is just the fact that you're proficient on so many different instruments. You mentioned it started for you with drums back in school, but so many different stringed instruments and bones and jugs and wind instruments. When did you decide that, you know, you really wanted to just try and learn so many different instruments, and how did you go about doing it?
Well, the nature of being a percussionist in the concert band, one of the things that you learn very quickly is that there are a lot of different instruments that you use within that framework. And so when I was in school band, I played everything from the suspended cymbal to the timpani, the snare drum, the concert bass drum. You know, so the idea of multiple instruments was never really an obstacle that I took a lot of time to think about. And so when I translated that over to guitar, and later when I got into playing the harmonica and the guitar. I thought that that was just a natural extension of a lot of the work I'd been doing just as a student playing music. And so for me, I just, one thing led to another when it came to all the different instruments. Once I went out to North Carolina, that was when I learned to play the bones. Someone had passed me a set and taught me how to play it. So then I brought that into my repertoire. When I was in Arizona, I got into jug band music, Jim Kleskin's jug band, as well as the Memphis jug band, the early jug band. So I started trying to learn how to play the jug, which, of course, was something that I'd only seen on Andy Griffith or something like that. But I figured when I heard those old recordings that they were really making a tone out of that jug, and so I wanted to figure that out. So I've learned quite a few different skills that when I present the concerts, of course, I don't talk about all this stuff in my concert in depth, but when I do my arrangements and I play the songs that I pick, they are definitely rooted within those early experiences. And that's something that I try to convey to the audience so that old-time music can be something that's relevant. Even though a song might be 100 years old or more, it can still be just as relevant as it was back then. And that's what makes culture.
It sounds like you'll be a busy guy here this weekend. A couple of performances at the Rose Bowl and then a couple of other workshops as well.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a really good time. You know, one of the things that's been wonderful over time is that I've been able to present music on a couple of different playing fields so that, you know, the workshops, you'll get to hear a little more explanation of some of the songs that I play or some of the ways I go about performing my craft. And then other times we're just going to have the straight concerts. And so we can just have the music out in the forefront, a few stories here and there, and a great time to be had by all, you know. So it's really nice to make it back to Urbana because I had such a wonderful time last time around. That's going to be great to make it over again. And I just love the area. So I'm just so excited.
Now he's a U.S. Marshal and a Lone Ranger. He is a U.S. Marshal and a Lone Ranger. He is a Lone Ranger. Bass Reeves is his name. There was a man way out west, rode round this country with a star on his breast. Every white man and Indian tribe knew he was the baddest man that ever was alive. Now he's a U.S. Marshal and a Lone Ranger. He is a Lone Ranger. Bass Reeves is his name.
That's Don Flemons with He's a Lone Ranger from his Grammy-nominated album Black Cowboys, released last year on the Smithsonian Folkways label. And you can find the full schedule for this year's Urbana Folk and Roots Festival at folkandroots.org.